Kinds of things that I love about Easter, and maybe this makes me weird, but what I love the most, not the most, but one of the big things, is just seeing who's going to show up on Easter Sunday, whether at church or joining us online. I just love to be around lots of people, and I'm unique in that way probably, but I see faces that I've known for years. Some faces are brand new. Some of you are here today because you're visiting family or friends. Some of you got our invitation online, you saw our sign outside, and you thought, you know what, I'm going to go to church, and maybe this is the first time in a really long time that you've stepped foot in a church building. Maybe for some of you, this is your first time ever. And if that's you, I applaud you, because I know that's not an easy thing. So welcome to all of you. But here's the thing. I want to level the playing field. I want you to know that those of you who have been coming to church your entire lives, and for those of you who are just coming for the first time, or maybe checking out church online, whatever the case may be, we all have something in common. And what I've observed over the years is that it's very easy to come here and celebrate and read these manuscripts, these eyewitness accounts of Jesus rising from the dead, and sing these amazing songs that remind us of what that all means. And to be excited about that, but then shortly after, walk out those doors or shut off whatever device you're using right now to listen to this, and then dismiss everything you just learned about the resurrection. And to go right back to all the fears and the worries that you carry with you every single day. And so what I want to do right now is propose an alternative to that. What I would love for all of us is to leave today believing that Easter is not just a one-time event where we get to dress up and hang out with our families, but that this is an event that you and I get to take with us and actually believe that our reason for living is because Jesus rose from the dead. That he still lives today, ruling and reigning over the world. And that he wants to help us through any season of life that we are currently going through. And to show you what that resurrection power looks like in our daily lives, what I'd like to do is share with you a portion of God's word where this actually happened before Jesus died and rose from the dead, but it highlights the example of what Jesus' resurrection power is able to do. And we're going to look today at Luke chapter 8. Now, Luke was a doctor who loved to take meticulous notes, and he interviewed all kinds of people that hung out with Jesus during his three-year ministry. And the portion of what he wrote that we're going to look at today describes two very difficult situations that needed his resurrection power, and they all happened at the same exact time. And this is what happened. So Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So this is the first scenario. We have a guy named Jairus. He's a synagogue ruler. A synagogue is the holy place for the Jews where they come together for worship. And so he's in charge of this. And more than likely, he had seen Jesus and heard Jesus speak probably in the synagogue that he cared for, healing people from all their diseases. And if he didn't see it with his own eyes, he at least heard about it. But he needs Jesus in this moment because his daughter, who's not even a teenager yet, she's just 12 years old, she is dying. So this is a 911 emergency. And he needs Jesus to come to his house immediately. And Jesus says, I'll do it. I have no problem. Let's go. But it says that the crowd that gathered to see Jesus was so thick that it almost crushed him. Have any of you been to the state fair? Especially the Minnesota State Fair. My family and I went a few years ago. And we went on the weekend, which nobody told us that's not a good idea. So we go through the gates, and it looked like the streets were moving and alive. It was, I mean, my daughter's like, I told you I didn't want to come. Like, it was scary. And you're literally touching people as you're walking, and it was just the weirdest thing. But that's what I think of when Jesus is trying to get to Jairus' house, is that it's just packed full. You can barely shimmy your way through, and Jairus is looking at his watch, if he had one, saying, Jesus, we got to go. And so that's the scenario, and then Luke says this. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. So this is the second scenario. This woman had internal bleeding for as long as that little girl had been alive. And other gospel writers tell us that she had spent almost her entire life savings on medical doctors, and they didn't help her, but they made the situation worse. And the fact that she had this bleeding going on, according to the Old Covenant, she was therefore declared ceremonially unclean or dirty. Just imagine, so she's experiencing all this pain for so many years. She's carrying around this stigma of being unclean. Just a horrible situation, a horrible way to live. And then the religious laws also declared that if she were to touch someone, or if they were to touch her, then they would be declared unclean. So it was probably a big deal for her to actually go out in public, let alone to go up to Jesus in this moment. But she hears about Jesus. She hears about his resurrection power, and she tells herself, this is what I need. And so somehow she shimmies through that state fair crowd, reaches out, and she grabs his cloak, and what does it say? Immediately her bleeding stopped. And now Luke tells us what happens next. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. So Peter is one of the more outspoken disciples of Jesus, and he's looking around and he's thinking, who didn't touch you, Jesus? Everybody's touching you right now. And Jesus is like, no, I felt power leave my body. And so now the woman who's nearby, she can hear Jesus shouting and Peter having this conversation. And she probably wanted to remain anonymous in this whole scenario, but now she steps forward. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. This woman was trembling. I bet she was more introverted than extroverted. Probably more so, she was terrified that she knew that if I touch people, they become unclean. Did I make Jesus unclean? And the reality is no. She didn't make Jesus unclean, but Jesus instead, her Savior, made her clean. And right then and there, he gave her the opportunity to share her testimony in front of this crowd to give glory to God. And this is why the other disciples write about this, because they were hearing her talk where she says, I was sick for all these years. I spent all my money. All these doctors were trying to help me. They made it worse. And I just reached out and I touched Jesus' cloak. And what did she receive? Resurrection power that healed her instantly. And this is what Jesus said to her. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. How many times do you think she was labeled unclean or dirty? And Jesus doesn't say that to her. He looks at her and he says those lovely words. Daughter, your faith, your trust and my power and who I am and what I'm able to do. That is what saved you. Now you can go in peace. And so I'm hoping you're asking yourself right now, can this still happen? Can Jesus still heal in this way? And the answer is absolutely. I'll tell you a story from my own life. My father, a few years ago, went in to get a scan, and they found this lump about yay big, about the size of a silver dollar, near and around his intestines and his stomach. And so immediately my sisters and I and our families, we start praying for my father. We ask God to do immeasurably more than we could ask for or imagine. And the reason for that is the doctor who came in and diagnosed this, he said, I've seen this a million times. That is definitely cancer. We got to operate, we got to take it out, and we got to do chemo treatments right away. So my dad's there, he gets the surgery done, goes well, and then the doctor comes into his recovery room and says, Tom, I am baffled, because what I took out of you is not cancer. It was cancer, I'm positive it was cancer, but now it's not cancer. All it was this, some kind of a scar tissue. And he's like, yeah, you don't need chemo or anything. And he's standing there just going, I don't get it. And my dad, he's a pastor, he's a very outspoken guy. And he's like, I get it. It's a miracle. God healed me. He took it away. And it was awesome for us because we weren't even thinking, you know, we didn't pray, God, please turn that ball of cancer into a scar tissue. We didn't ask for that. We just asked that the surgery would go well and hopefully he'd get through the chemo. And God did way more than that. Because he can, because his resurrection power still is effectual for us today and tomorrow and every single day of our lives. And here's the thing, you too get to pray to Jesus. If you're going through something in your life right now, you get to ask him to use his resurrection power and say, God, would you please heal me? Now, I want you to understand, he's not always going to use a miracle. There are often times where he will use a medical doctor and medicine and therapy and rehab. And sometimes his response to your prayer is, I'm not going to take that away. My grace is sufficient for you because I know that this is actually better for you. Even though you and I are like, I don't think so. But he says, I know this is better for you and I'm going to turn this into a testimony. I'm going to allow you to use this to be able to give glory to God just like that woman did who was suffering through bleeding, just like my father was able to. And in those moments, you pray that same prayer of resurrection power, but you say, Lord, use that to give me your supernatural patience right now. Lord, use that to give me supernatural endurance as I work through this difficulty in my life. And the reality is, he will do that for you. That is the power of Jesus' resurrection. And again, it is not meant to just be celebrated today, once a year, but this is something that we get to celebrate every single day of our lives. Now, did you notice we took a little detour? We started out with Jairus. Now all of a sudden we were talking about this woman, but Jairus is still there. And he's hearing all this going on, and all of a sudden Jesus is talking to this woman. He's talking to the crowd. He stopped shimmying his way to Jairus' house, and this is what happens. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. So while Jairus was waiting patiently on Jesus, he just received the worst news of his life. His little girl, his one and only daughter, was dead. How often does it feel like when you cry out to Jesus that he doesn't respond the way you want him to or in the time frame that you expect him to? And then how easily do you fall into this mentality of saying, well, I just don't want to bother him, I guess, because he's got 7 other billion prayers he's got to listen to, and why would mine even make it to the top? I don't want to waste his time. But Jesus is about to show you and me that praying to him is never a waste of time. And his timing, even though we don't always understand it, is always perfect. And this is how he responded. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. That is completely illogical. Don't be afraid. I was just told my daughter is dead and now she's going to be healed. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But remember who's saying it. Just moments earlier, Jairus was there when that woman touched Jesus' cloak and all of a sudden she's healed from 12 years of bleeding. And Jairus doesn't know this yet, but Jesus is pretty soon going to die and then rise from the dead. So when he says, don't be afraid, just believe, your daughter's going to be healed, there's power behind that. So this is what happens next. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. No doubt the crowd was following Jesus wherever he was going, and he gets to the door, keeps everybody out. He just takes in his three disciples, three of them, and the parents. And when they get there, it says, meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. So all of a sudden, now there's this funeral going on in their home at that moment. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She's not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. Isn't it kind of weird that these people, and a lot of commentators will say that these were hired mourners back in the day, that you'd actually pay people to come and put on a funeral service for you and cry. It's just weird to think that they're crying in one moment, and then Jesus says what seems to them very illogical words, and then they start laughing at him. What? That's ridiculous. She's not sleeping, she's dead. But how often do you and I respond like those mourners? We're going through some tragedy in our lives, and a well-meaning friend of ours comes up to us and shares a Bible verse or tries to draw us back to Jesus' resurrection power. And maybe we don't laugh out loud, but inside we kind of scoff and say, what's Jesus going to do about this? And the reality is we all have this little doubter inside of us that tries to convince us that Jesus isn't strong enough. But he is. And he proves it in these next verses. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. So when Jesus said, the little girl is asleep, he knew that she was dead, okay? But Jesus also knew that he has the power to wake people up from the dead. Here's his promise. He says, whoever believes in me, whoever believes that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, in the moment you close your eyes in this earth and you open them in the next life, you're going to see who? Jesus, just like that little girl did. You open your eyes and you're going to see him smiling down on you and saying, welcome to heaven. I'm glad you're here. That's the power that Jesus exuded. That's the resurrection power that he was showing this family who was astonished by what they had just seen, that Jesus was able to raise the dead, and he still is. And he's still able to work in our lives today. I'll share one more story with you. A couple months ago, my family and I were going through a very, very, very stressful time, and it affected all of us. I have four children, and it affected my wife and I and them as well at different varying degrees. And one week I had gone out of town for a pastor's retreat, and I'd just gotten back in. My wife picked me up at the airport, and we get home, and she gets a phone call from the school nurse. And she tells us that Eden, our six-year-old, is in her office. And she's like, I'm not sure, but I think she's having a seizure. And she's never had seizures before. So my wife and I are skeptical, and we're thinking, maybe she's just making weird faces to try to get attention from her teacher. Okay? Great parents. So we're debating this, but they say, please come and get her. So Andrea is getting her stuff, and then minutes later, she calls back and says, I called the ambulance. They're on their way. So she jumps in the car. I stay home because the other three are about to get home, and I have to be with them. And she's off. She's helping out, and I have no idea what's going on. She's not able to text me or call me because the ambulance is there. She's, you know, taking care of our daughter. And I am at home freaking out, having no clue what's going on, thinking through the worst case scenario. Is my daughter dying? What is happening? And thankfully, at that pastor's retreat, their encouragement to us is that when you feel weak, when life happens, don't rely on your own strength because you are weak. But in that moment, turn to Jesus because he is strong. Have a strong devotional life. Read the Word of God. Pray over the Word of God. Do that. And that's what was resonating in my mind. So I grabbed my Bible, I sat on my couch, and I opened up to Luke chapter 8, which we're looking at today. And I'm reading through that, and then I come across these words. Would you read it with me? Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. Now, Jesus said that to Jairus, right? But on that day, on my couch, with my Bible open, I read those words. Jesus said that right to me. And this peace just overwhelmed me. I can't even explain it. And tears of joy, I just wept, and I knew my daughter is going to be okay. And I even believed, and I still do believe, that if whatever was causing those seizures ended up taking her life, I was okay with that. You know why? Because I believe in the resurrection power. And I believe, just like that little girl, if my daughter closed her eyes for the very last time here on this earth, right after that, she was going to open them and see Jesus' smiling face looking right at her and saying, Eden, welcome to heaven. Today is not just about today. It's about every day. And I can say, thankfully, my daughter is alive and well. She hasn't had any more seizures since then, praise God. But again, my point in sharing all this is that I don't want you walking out of here today or logging off online and saying, oh, that was fun. Can't wait till next year. No, this is not a once-a-year event. My prayer is that you leave here today believing that the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go, no matter what is going on in your life. Because then you can hear these words of Jesus spoken directly to you. Do not be afraid. Just believe. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, you are mighty to save. It's not just a song, it's reality. We're so grateful that you came back to life and now you use that power in our lives to give us healing, to give us peace, to give us patience and endurance when life is hard. God, thank you for this word today. And again, please don't let us forget it. Please help us to remember it. Help us to remind each other of it, that Easter is a yearly event. Every single day. Amen.